Listeners have been emailing me about their great experiences when they visited a Tecovas store, the company renowned for upholding timeless traditions and delivering top-notch quality in every pair of cowboy boots. If you haven't experienced their exceptional craftsmanship firsthand, why wait any longer? Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have custom leather branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Time now for Mr. X. You may know him as the guy who delivers nearly 80% documented winners over 20 plus years in season totals in baseball. However, you're soon going to know him as the star of Maine Cabin Masters, Mr. X, building a cottage in Maine, and it's going great so far, maybe.
No, it's great on paper.
It's great on paper.
I came up here to light a fire under these guys that said I'd be the first job of the season, but I failed to bring a big enough torch with me. That fire's not working yet.
It's not working. Okay, so this is going to be a little cabin on the property that your parents owned back in the day?
Same lake, but not theirs. I bought one nearby, right.
Dude, you're like full on. You're going to go full hermit at this point.
Oh, God, yes.
You got a boat. You're getting a cabin up there, and you got the beard. I mean, you're set.
Yeah, I am.
Do you have good internet? Do you have satellite? That's all that you need.
It's not bad. It's not too bad. I am on top of the pole to get cell service, standing up there on a ladder. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
It's not too bad.
Do you ever watch the show Maine Cabin Masters?
Hell yeah. That's phenomenal.
It's a good show, isn't it? And I'm not sure why I like it. Per se, I think the people involved are interesting characters, all of them.
Yep.
And I think what is also appealing is, you know, on the show at least, the work is so damn cheap.
Yeah, that's questionable. The bad part about that show is do not let the wife see it. Why can't we do that?
It's like, right.
No. I can't do it, and I can't do it with that budget, and I don't get it.
Golly. So, yeah. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover. We missed last week. It was a busy week schedule-wise. The season launched. Your subscribers at callmemrx.com got the season baseball totals. Now that we're 1 week in, can you release them for those who at least want to hear it and know that these were your official picks?
Sure, I don't mind. There's a lot. Let's see. I mean, my main top three picks this year, which I know does nobody any good now. That ship has sailed.
Well,
but
it's not that they don't do anybody any good. It's that they're not entitled to them. That this is the precious that you have earned over the years with your record. Can you please review your record for people with me? Do you have that handy?
You know
or
what?
Do I need to? You'd probably carry it with you on a laminated card.
No, it's on the site. I did not update the site with last year yet. I'm behind.
Uh-oh, was it a bad
year?
We
did 21 years at right at 80.4% in 21 years on your show. I did not have, I don't have, you know, did it change a lot from last year? No. Probably went up or down a percent. I can't remember offhand.
Okay, so that's where we're at over the years. Yeah. What were your totals last year? How did they go?
You know what? Sorry. I can get them in a second.
That's okay. That's okay. You're officially giving out three this year, right?
Yeah. Well, my top three were the Orioles under 63. They suck. I mean, we all know that.
Well, they beat my Brewers yesterday, so there's that.
I know. Yeah. But they're in a division with four teams that can all win over 90. They can get better and still not win more, and they're not better.
Yeah.
So
isn't Toronto the favorite to win the division, and they're not even the Yankees or the Red Sox payroll wise?
Toronto's a great young team. They've gotten a little too much off. There's always a team that gets a too much off-season hype that everyone falls in love with. And this year, that's Toronto.
Okay.
I don't think they're as good as the Yankees. Now, I don't want to start you down that path, but if things stay like this, no baseball team has ever had a home field advantage like playing in Canada this year. If the unvaccinated guys stay across the border.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I don't know how that's going to work. Blue Jays are the favorites, plus 195 okay. over the Yankees at plus 230 and the Rays plus 250, Boston plus 475. Yeah. And there's the Orioles plus plus 15,000 or 150 to 1 just to win the division.
Yeah, no, they're so anyway, I have them to go under 60. They'll lose 100 games just because of the unbalanced schedule playing those four teams. But yeah, I mean, the Jays, I think, Zabe, and I'll get you going on this, but I think we'll see, rather than a whole focus on a Kyrie Irving kind of stuff, you'll see a lot of guys getting, what do they call it in the NBA? Load management. You'll see a lot of nagging injuries
that get shoveled into
supposed to go to Toronto.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think that's a interesting thing to keep our eyes on. So
he tweaked his shoulder. He's going to take and miss a start. Oh, it's the one in Toronto. Yeah. I bet he's not vaccinated.
Right. I think that could absolutely be the case. Yep. So let's see. Orioles under 63, you say?
Correct. That was my favorite. The other top two were pretty contrarian. I went under the Tigers, 79.5. The world likes the Tigers, getting better, blah, blah, blah. They're not that good. So I took them under. And then a big contra pick, I took the Giants under 85.5, 86, which is a hell of a drop from winning 107 last year. But they're going to get old quickly, and so I went under them. And as you notice, my very best, strongest plays that I put in personally always leaned unders, not overs.
Yeah, which is a hard way to go because you got to nurse them into the house.
Well, the point is that, you know, everybody's like, oh, we went under because somebody got hurt. Somebody had a – yeah, okay, you know.
Right.
Things can go wrong. And like last year's Nationals, you know, when we took them under 84 and – if they quit and trade their players, you can write it off early.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's the hope.
It, you know, it's sort of like in golf where I think 90% of amateurs underclub their shots to the green because they see what the yardage is and they say, oh, 150, 7-iron. Well, that's if you hit it perfect.
Hit it perfect.
You're not going to hit it perfect more than 1 out of 10 times. So you're going to go under. And that tends to be the trend, although – as always, most over-unders end up at what? 500.
50-50. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. All right, so the three plays for this year are Orioles under. The
Orioles under, Tigers
under, and the Giants,
yeah, Giants under.
Okay, well, if you bet them, good luck. If you subscribe at callmemrx.com, you already were on it, and away we go. So on the non-gambling front, two huge stories involving DC sports franchises. Number one is the Lerner family, who used to get a big chunk of your money every year for season tickets until you finally said, that's it, that's enough, has said they are investigating changes to their ownership structure, including a possible sale of the team.
Yeah, why do you have to announce that? I guess whatever. You know,
you don't like me publicizing the fact that you used to be a season ticket holder?
Oh, no. I don't care. I mean, why do they have to say, we're thinking of exploring? What do you got to, like, have to announce that? Why don't you just tell me when it's sold? I'm not going to call you and buy it. I mean, I don't understand.
Right.
You know,
you don't think there's a group of people out there in this country with billions of dollars that have put search firms whose sole mission is to make sure they're aware, even before a house hits the market, so to speak,
right,
is this team for sale? Could it be for sale? Talk to me. So, yeah.
Well,
you know what it was? I think it was for the public. It was for the public consumption. It was, get ready, you're going to have new owners soon.
How about this? Maybe it's the, we stink this year, but don't bother us. We're leaving anyway.
That could be it as well.
Don't complain to me. I mean,
here's what I don't understand. Why? Uh-huh. Why were they selling?
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Now, okay, look, this is my 30,000 foot, but why do most billionaires own a sports team? It's that combination of power and, you know, I'm the man kind of thing. Dan Snyder spinning around in the chair saying, look at me. Or, you know, by owning this, look at all the clients I can entertain for all my other business ventures, you know, at the ballpark, at the stadium. They own it for that whole, like, let's call it clout.
Yes.
The learners care about one thing, money.
Right.
Okay. So them selling, them buying it, building a stadium, holding it for a little while, watching, they're like the guy who watched his price of his house just triple and said, yeah, you can have it. You can have it. So, because they want the money. And, you know, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with wanting the money. That's been their MO since long before they started hassling with the city about building that stadium, and they've been cheap from day one. Why would they care more about power and prestige? They care more about green. And so, yeah, why shouldn't they sell?
Yeah, it was a good right. It was a good lucrative investment, and they're flipping it. They are real estate tycoons. They are shopping mall company. That's where the learners make the buildings, right? Shopping malls, office buildings.
Yep. Yeah. And the first 3 or 4 years that team was here, they trained everyone on that involved with that team to say to the customers, hey, we're brand new at this. Bear with us. After like 4 years, I said, enough. Stop. Stop saying that.
They actually said that to
you? Oh, God, yes. I can't tell you. And you know what? When you're happy to have a team after 40 years or 30 years, whatever it was,
you put up with it.
You go, yeah, I got you. Okay.
But you that is such bullshit, by the way. Like, this is big time sports. This is not a new venture, a new concept where they're trying to iron out the kinks. There's 29 other teams to model your operations on. You hire ball players, you hire scouts, coaches, and then you play the schedule the league puts out for you. You take money for tickets. I mean, it's not rocket science.
No, well, you hire from other teams. When you got an expansion team, you don't say, bear with our shortstop. He's new. I mean, come on. You got him from somewhere else. He should be able to play. So why can't your front office?
And they did that for like 3 years. What broke you as a season ticket holder? My brother also was not just a season ticket holder. He was a fanatic. He was a guy who happily held parties in his neighborhood to carve up their shared tickets and went to many games. Big baseball fan. He finally got so sick of it, he said, I'm out. And then they tried to trick him at the end by saying he missed his window to cancel, and he had to threaten to sue him.
I know. That you know, you could write a book on the stuff they've done. It's and no chapter would be like the other. Like, really? I mean, you know, they just, it's so much. You don't want to know why I went out. I went out. I had those Diamond Club, the behind the plate, you know, all inclusive, eat and drink all night tickets that were, you know, phenomenal. And I shared them with a whole bunch of people. But 1 year, what I told them many years ago was, I will follow any rule you give me. Just give it to me. Just give it to me. They have a habit of they were like Dean Warmer putting you on double secret probation for breaking a rule that you didn't know was a rule. You know, nothing's in writing. They would just verbally say,
oh, yeah, you can't do that. Right. Like, what was it? I remember you told me once about something that you didn't know you couldn't do. And
well, they had they're very paranoid about ticket brokers versus fans.
Oh, right.
Okay. But they have the MLB partnership with StubHub. And they put on their packages, one of the benefits, season ticket holders, sell the games you can't go to through our partner. And then when you do it, they're like, yeah, hey, don't do that. It's like, wait, what? And then the one rep would say to a friend of mine, he said, if you sell 50% of your tickets, you know, we're going to consider you a broker and we're going to have a problem. The guy says, oh, okay. Another guy says, that's funny. My rep told me don't sell 30%. I mean, everything was just unwritten rules.
Wow.
You know, and then the last
year, sort of like baseball itself, Mr. X. It's all unwritten rules.
Yeah.
Can you bunt to break up a no hitter? Should you be hacking in a 9-0 game after the seventh inning? That kind of
thing. That's right. Yeah. But anyway, the quick version is after the championship year, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I'm not in town much. And so I bought on this off season site, I bought 4 seats in the front row of like left center field. Why? Because now my kids like to go, and I am putting them in the expensive seats, you know? So I bought some cheap ones. And they called me up and said I couldn't have them.
What?
I said, okay, what's up? And the rep says, you sold too many games last year. We don't like that. So I click on my account while she's on the phone, and I pull it up. Because, you know, they have a system that shows what you sold. And I said, we sold 9 games out of 82. 9 out of all my partners.
That's pretty good load management as a fan. Only 9 out of 82.
Yeah, because my partners go to the games. You know, there's a handful you didn't go to. And I said, and she said, well, I'll have to research it. I'm like, well, I'm on your website. It says 9.
I have to research it. No, you don't. I'm looking at it. Jesus.
And they kept saying, she kept saying, I'm going to have to check. I'll let you know. And
hold on,
I emailed and say, you haven't gotten back to me. They would never answer me because, again, it's like, just
it's
unwritten.
A shell game. Right.
And I said, you know what? That's enough. So I put in for the refund. It was 2020, COVID. I put in for the refund first week of April, and they promptly got it to me the last week of August.
Oh my God.
And I said, you know what? 20 years is enough.
Yeah, that's definitely enough. I can only imagine the frustration where they say you can't buy the, first of all, you can't buy these tickets. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
I know.
Hi, I want to buy tickets. No, you can't. Why? You sold too many last year. Me.
I sold 9.
Me, I'm looking at my account. It was 9. Well, I'd have to research that. Wait, you just told me I sold too many, and then I tell you the number, and then you tell me, well, I'd have to go look that up.
In your system.
Right. Am I going fucking crazy here?
You can't make this up.
Who's taking crazy pills? Here, do you want my money or not? And yet you could have, and this is where I don't understand how anyone ever goes through the team anymore. You could have tickets to any game you want in a variety of seats, some good, some better than good, some okay, and not be committed to anything.
I know.
Why doesn't value everybody? Why doesn't the season ticket holders should be the ones getting a break, getting a discount, getting a thank you for their loyalty?
Hey, Zabe, I'd like to sign up for premium for the next 12 years. What do you mean, no?
Yeah, we don't offer that plan here at the Zabecast. Oh no, we fucking offer that plan. Just ask me about it. I'll create the plan.
Yeah, let me give you my PayPal. Yeah.
Now I'm like, oh shit, I got to do this podcast for 12 years, huh? Oh boy. I will run out of things to say by then.
Nope, sell the team, just like them.
Oh God. So, all right, so are they going to sell for sure, and will they be missed?
You know,
they weren't terrible owners to those who didn't buy season tickets. I don't think.
Everyone who's not a season plan holder or just goes to a game and it's all invisible. Hey, you brought a team to D.C. We missed it for 40. Great. Thank
you. Hold on. That needs to be corrected. They didn't bring it here. Remember, the team moved here and they won the fight to own it over a number of entities.
That's true. The league owned it the first year here, right? That's
correct.
They did.
Okay.
But they helped build the ballpark. And
they did.
Yeah, people will remember it that way. Most people will. I'm not saying they deserve credit for it. I'm saying I think most people just kind of, there's a. I don't think a casual fan, you know, hey, we won a World Series. Great. Hey, thanks. But anybody who tried to ever deal with the team, you know, it was like, no. It was like, and then, you know, one year my friend was going to get into those club seats and they made, you want him to sign a 3-year contract. And the contract actually says, if you sell to anyone who's not listed on this contract and you don't use StubHub, we can void the rest of your deal.
Jesus.
For 3 years. And he sat down and he looked at him and he said, why would I do that? You tell me if I sell them to my partner down the hall, I'm in breach of contract? And the guy in charge said, oh, but don't worry, we won't do that.
We won't do that.
My friend, who's, you know, an older guy, said, I've been around too long to say, let's put this contract and say, don't worry, we won't really do it.
Then why is it in there?
Exactly.
Oh,
that's their
God.
Mentality.
Yeah. All right. Yep. So any other thoughts on the learners and what will soon be the close of their run as owners of the baseball team in DC?
I don't know. Would it be good if we finally get rid of Snyder, but he buys the Nats? How's that going to help?
Well, that is enchilada number 2 in this 2 enchilada meal. I don't know if you've seen yet the story in the Washington Post that just broke today about the details of the financial irregularities, if not outright crimes, that Dan Snyder was alleged to have conducted by this guy, Jason Friedman, the former, you know, head of ticket sales. And there's some pretty damning evidence in which basically they were attributing revenue from NFL games to special events like the Army-Navy game, to Kenny Chesney concerts.
Things they didn't have to share with the other boys?
Exactly. And they called it the juice. And there is an email from one of their, you know, top financial guys saying...
Saul Goodman?
No, not Saul Goodman. But there's an email in which he said, apply the juice to Army-Navy game. And I mean, it is detailed. Also, it turns out that the team held deposits for season tickets and club seats and luxury suites and didn't return them to a number of season ticket and leaseholders because they didn't tell them about it. Sometimes, you know, the actual tickets would change hands from one entity to another, and then they'd cancel, and they'd be like, shh, don't tell them about the deposit we're supposed to give back. Oh, it is a barn burner. I really think Snyder is cooked.
Well, so the headline is, this is the straw that's going to break Snyder's back, version 37.2. Come on.
It is.
Every time we had this. Headline.
I mean, you know, nothing's going to happen forever until it finally does happen, right?
There's one way. I'm convinced there's one way he gets rid of this team. And that is, you watch Ted Lasso?
Don't spoil it. I'm midway through season two.
Well, no, that's all. That's all.
Oh, the premise of it is, is the wife.
Divorce.
Yeah, right. Divorce and the wife going ham on, you know, the
wife saying, where's my half? And him going, right. That's the only way this guy's going to ever go down, it seems.
Yeah. How about the team? Oh, you can have the team. Well, look, you know, you may be right. However, what does a dam look like minutes before it breaks and floods a town? Yeah. Looks like a perfectly fine dam, doesn't it? Yeah. You don't know until it finally gives way. I got to believe there is so much here. There's so much detail. There's so many pissed off ex-employees like this guy Friedman that they're ready to burn Dan's house down. They've got nothing else to lose. So fuck him. And Congress is involved.
Yeah. Now, I hope you're right. I still think divorce is our best option.
Well, and let's hope we get somebody better than Snyder. I know you might think, well, who could be worse? You never know, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, take our chances, but...
According to the letter, Friedman told the committee, at one point the team had to, quote, scramble to reach out as passively as possible to everybody that had a security deposit on file that was refundable in one of the three local jurisdictions, Maryland, D.C., or Virginia, based on the applicable laws. But even then, the team, quote, intentionally created additional obstacles to reduce the likelihood the leaseholders would follow through by requiring a letter for a refund request, said Freeman to the committee. Does that sound on brand for you, for Dan Snyder?
Yeah, no, it does.
Some team executives used the term juice to refer to the revenue that was intentionally misallocated to the franchise's accounting system and attributed to unrelated events. This is part of why many NFL teams don't have a lot of secondary events, concerts, college games, etc. Dan had a lot of them. You know why? It's a great place to hide some shady shit, right?
That's right. That's right. It's either you launder it there or you do the Walter White method. I mean,
exactly. They said at one point, though, they decided to just go ahead and drop the practice, even though they had been doing it for a while. According to the letter, Friedman told the committee that he was instructed by Stephen Choi, the team's former CFO, quote, Dan doesn't want us to mess with it anymore. Just leave it alone. Don't touch any of the money. Don't try and get it back to the customers. And don't try and convert it into juice. Just leave it alone.
Nice. Hey, this is exactly why, since the Washington Nationals will never send me an email They never do that under this ownership. That's why.
Because then you've got evidence.
They go, yeah, let me give you a call on that.
Right.
It's like, Jesus, a simple answer. Nope. Let me give you a call. How many games do you have me down for selling? Let me give you a call.
Yeah, right. Because then you have evidence to go, you said I've got X amount of tickets for this amount of price and I get parking and concessions. Here it is in writing. Hold your and up to it. Here's another thing that's hilarious in this. Apparently, two of the season tickets in which the deposit was not returned belonged to the name, was attributed to the name of Roger Stoko Goodell. Do you know Goodell was a season ticket holder of the Redskins at one point, and he apparently had an unreturned deposit of about a grand from Snyder and the Redskins?
That's good.
Wow. The spreadsheets, according to the committee's letter, appear to show security deposits for 28 seats held at various times by the NFL itself, with unreturned deposits of approximately 13 grand as of 2016. That's more than one or two oversights. That's not just sloppy accounting. That's a scheme. That's a scam right there.
What that is it's 13 grand. Who cares? It's indicative of your style.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Friedman said that he falsely processed $162,000 worth of revenue from the Commanders game tickets as being derived from a Navy-Notre Dame game at FedEx Field. And based on guidance from Choi in a May 6 email of 2014, quote, the juice goes to Navy versus ND game, unquote. Friedman also told the committee the Commanders avoided detection in such a case by charging $55 for a ticket listed in their manifest as costing $44. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of this, Mr. X, sounds like, oh yeah, that's totally on brand. That is totally plausible for Daniel M. Snyder.
Right. Well, I guess the obvious thing that maybe I'm want to make sure I'm connecting is it's not just accounting and tax and everything else. It's your revenue sharing with your other 30 owners.
Yes.
And you're moving it over into college and this and that.
Yeah.
Aren't your peers going, dude, really? You're stealing from us?
Right. And so now here's the rub. Why isn't the league moving swiftly to kick Snyder out and to say,
because they already knew?
Okay. That's one good explanation. I have a second explanation. Everyone does it.
Yeah, that's what I meant. They already knew. Everybody, it was like, okay.
Either they knew he was doing it and knew it was going to be a problem, but wanted to handle it internally and quietly. Because look, at the end of the day, it's just money. They can tax Snyder to get the money back, right? They can whack him in line privately. But now this has gone public. Now this is in Congress's lap, and they got nothing better to do, and they love doing this shit.
Sure, and now it's also the NFL's take is more of the, Dan, we told you to stop putting stuff in emails, you dummy.
Well, not all of his underlings understood that. But so anyway, it could come to a head. You're betting the under on the ownership change with the Commanders, correct?
You know, I don't know. I've been down that road so many times where you think, oh, this is it. I'll believe it the day I read it. How's that?
No, I know you're right. Will you be back in as a fan if they get Snyder out?
I would like to think so. Okay. I was diehard for a long time until it just became way too hard.
Yeah, exactly, for a lot of us. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, what else do you got this week? You always come prepared with a long rundown, of which we've already gone 30 minutes. It's been a good 30 minutes, but we haven't touched any of your stuff. What do you got?
Well, if you remember, what I said was, I don't got anything. No. How about the new, you know, the only comment I have on the baseball start is, you know, the new playoff format, adding more teams.
Yeah.
The way I see it is, you know, it's one more step to making sure that it's a fun playoff. You're getting further and further away from having the better teams. You know, every round you add increases, you know, the probability of a lesser team being in the finals, to which I say, if you want the two best teams in the finals, you go back to the original format of 100 years of you play all year and top two go to the World Series, play 5 games. There you have it. The point isn't to have the best teams. It's to have a fun tournament.
When did they create divisions? Because they had to first start with the
I'm going to say West. 69.
That late in the century, huh?
Well, yeah, 69 was the first year they added one round of, you know, American League, two divisions, National League, two divisions. Through 68, it was champ goes to the World Series. As far as after that.
Yeah, 1969, you're right, from 69 to 83. There is an AL West and an NL West, AL East and AL West, same thing for the NL. And you had one, you know.
Three or five, four or seven. Yep, that was it. But the point is this, do you care anymore? I mean, you look at last year, the Blue Jays, who didn't make the playoffs, they won 3 more games than the Braves, world champs, right? So?
Right.
Know? It was the Braves, you know, got hot at the right time, and they win. And people are like, you know, this format gets so, you know, I don't think anybody cares. I was going to ask you, you know, what formats produce the best teams in the finals? The NCAA tournament, clearly no, usually. I mean, you have to win 6 in a row and one injury, one foul trouble, and you're out. But so what? It's the most fun tournament.
It is. I think best of 7. I think the NBA best of 7, it usually delivers the two best teams. But there's always that suspicion that, well, the league's got their thumb on the scale anyway, just in case. But the NBA has the most possessions in a game, and with a 7-game series, and they got the fewest number of star players that can make the biggest difference. In other words, if you have a Giannis or a LeBron or a Steph Curry, you got a real good shot of winning a series best of 7.
That's true, and I think the added to that is I'm not sure there's a sport where home court is more of an advantage than NBA. So a better team, better record, better advantage, a lot of things go your way to get to the end. Maybe, you know, because, you know, I think home court in NBA is more than other sports, refs, et cetera. NFL, I mean, it's not hard to have a 9-7 Giants beating a 16-0 Patriots. And baseball's going that way now. It's about, you know, like the 2019 Nationals, if you got Strasburg and Scherzer and you win 88 games, you can win. So I think as we continue to add, we're getting more and more into fun playoffs. We're getting away from the better teams. So, you know, I don't know how much you have to overspend to be, you know, tippy top team anymore. You just pick up what you need down the stretch.
Yeah.
Like the Braves did last year. Yeah.
All right, so amongst the four majors, this story is from 2017. By the way, the best dissertation on why home court, home field advantage exists is done by guys who wrote a book called Scorecasting. You ever heard of it?
Yes, it did. Very good. Yes.
It's a book by Scorecasting, The Hidden Influences Behind How Sports Are Played and Why Games Are Won, written by Tobias Moskowitz and L. John Wertheim, who I believe Wertheim wrote for the Wall Street Journal, may still do that. Basically, they say it's because the refs are human, and the refs get influenced by the crowd who yells at them, and they give an extra call or two to the home team.
Oh, yes. Calling that charge and getting the crowd fired up is just out of control.
So in North American sports, the four major sports, hockey, NHL, 59% of the games are won by home teams. However, it needs to be noted they get the last line change.
Last change is a real rule.
Which is a real rule, real advantage. Now, having the last at bat in baseball, is that an advantage statistically?
Should be.
I guess.
I mean, it should be.
Only if the team in the top of the ninth inning slows down and says, we've got enough runs, we're not going to try to add any more. You know what I mean? That, in essence, you assume each team tries to score as many runs as they can with the outs that they're given for all nine frames, and each team gets nine frames. The sequencing of it is kind of irrelevant if each team is trying as hard as it can to score as many runs as possible.
It's always good to know what you need.
It's good.
Every game you play, it's an advantage to go last.
You're right. It's good to know what you need.
Right.
But it doesn't guarantee anything. All right, so hockey is 59%. Football is 57.6%. That's 58%. Baseball is 54%. Okay. And the number one, and I went down, did I say NHL was number one at 59%? Yeah. I was wrong. It was the NBA. The NBA at 62.7%, home teams win their games.
Yeah, makes sense.
You know what it is in soccer? Soccer has a international home win rate of 60% to as high as 70% in U.S. Major League Soccer. So in the U.S., it's the biggest advantage. Well, as far as the playoff formats, you know, the NBA now has this play-in tournament, which I would assume you are meh or meh minus on, but what do X2, X3, and X4, the big NBA heads in your household, think of the new expanded tournament?
It's a lot of waste of time to go get slaughtered by the one seed. You know, congratulations, you get to play 2 out of 3 to get your ass kicked next round. Whatever. Right.
But it's an interesting wrinkle at least.
Sure.
And it ropes in some more teams at least, and it helps get the Lakers or the Knicks in if they're ever just outside the top eight, right?
Yeah, but the NBA is the one sport. In every other sport, get in, let's go. Get in, we have a shot. NBA, you're like, yeah, I think I'd rather have the draft pick.
Right. Get in, and you still don't have a shot because you got to win 4 of 7, 4 of 7, 4 of 7, and then 4 of 7 one more time.
Do I want that playoff opportunity as the 10 seed, or do I want to be in the lottery? You know, they pick the lottery.
Exactly. All right, what else?
Well, we missed the end of the NCAA tournament.
What'd you think of that?
God awful. Well, I don't know if you followed the last 5 seconds of that tournament just fit the whole damn tournament, of which was bad beat after bad beat week.
Oh, yeah.
For all those knuckleheads on your show or your writer that always talk about, we only talk about winners.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything right in that tournament. It was horrible. And it all came down to with the KU Carolina game.
Yep.
Where
Kansas is up 3. Laying four. Carolina has a shot to hit a 3 to tie. They shoot. They miss. Kansas gets it.
First they missed a couple, and then they threw it out of bounds.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right. They missed a couple, threw it out of bounds.
We've all seen this a million times. They're going to shoot. And if they hit it and go to overtime, fine. They're out of steam. They're going to lose. But if they miss, they're going to foul, and Kansas wins by 5. Well, they get it inbound. They have 4 seconds to inbound the ball, Kansas. And you know, you inbound it, you foul the guy, and he goes, he hits a free throw, you win. Right. He catches it out of bounds.
Well, you took one step, and then he stepped on the sideline, which was inexcusable.
I saw a story saying that was probably one of the worst bad beat endings, because if you're on Carolina there, you're like, thank God, we're about to foul, we're not going to cover. And he catches it and steps one step out of bounds. It's like, never thought of that as what they would do to end that game.
Yeah. Well, there was 4 seconds left. So let's say like the normal shape of it as the dog, as the dog trying to cover, or excuse me, as the favorite trying to cover, because you had Kansas minus the 4, right?
Yes.
And being on the wrong side of that game for most of the night, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which doesn't matter, because it just matters being on the right side at the very end with zeros on the clock.
Sure.
The classic finish, which should have been, was missed 3, defensive rebound, foul, 2 free throws, cover, followed
shoot
by
half court
miss and go home. It's a tale as old as time, as they say in Beauty and the Beast, right? That's the way you win it. It's the dealer having a 6 in blackjack and then going 6-10-6 out, 26, pay the line. Instead, it happened the way it did. The agonizing thing, if you're trying to cover that, is shit, offensive rebound. You got to be kidding me. Shit, yeah, right. Another one. You got to be kidding me. Oh, they threw it out of bounds. Thank God. Now we go inbound foul, free throw, wild 3, cover. Instead,
and
it happened the way it did.
After timeout to set up your play to throw it out of bounds.
I know. It's so terrible.
Then we still got a chance for Carolina to tie and go to overtime, and the guy keeps falling down. Catch the inbound pass.
Oh well, so it goes. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck. Keep us posted on the cabin building.
All right.
I wish you luck there, and we will chat next week.
Sounds good.
There you go. Thanks. All right, that's a good podcast right there. That's 40 solid minutes. You don't need my intro. You don't need the topics before or afterwards. That was a good lesson. That was a good chat. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Have yourself a wonderful Wednesday, and we will see you next time.